Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV, coming your way from our headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Reactions continue to flow after the U.S. decision on Monday to label Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC, as a terrorist organization. The IRGC is part of the country's military. Now, Iranians have rallied behind the military organization, with President Hassan Rouhani calling the decision, quote, an unwise move and in support of Israel. Also, Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says that it's a sign of the, quote, desperate nature of U.S. policies in this region. He made those remarks after visiting IRGC's top commanders. Meantime, Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdel Mahdi says Washington's decision, quote, could have negative repercussions on Iraq and the region. In tonight's debate, we'll discuss the reasons for and the ramifications of the U.S. decision. First, let's watch a report together.
Iranians rally behind the country's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, IRGC, after the U.S. president designated the military organization a terrorist entity. Unwise, foolish, and illegal. This is how the Iranian president described Donald Trump's move. Hassan Rouhani said the U.S. decision is rooted in Trump's pro-Israel stance and Washington's failures in the Middle East.
It stands out a mile why they did so. Netanyahu openly said the U.S. move was at his request and thanked Donald Trump for responding to his request. Of course, they have had some goals in the region, which have always failed to achieve. They know that the IRGC has played a key role in the defeats they suffered in the region. Now they are angry with the IRGC, the Iranian nation, the government, and the leader.
The IRGC echoed Rouhani's remarks and vowed to improve its defensive and offensive capabilities. In a statement, the defense force also warned of giving what it called unforgettable lessons to Iran's adversaries. In a meeting with IRGC commanders, Iran's foreign minister hailed the defense force's sacrifices during the invasion of Iran by the U.S.-backed former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein in 1980s and in the fight against Daesh terrorists. Mohammad Javad Zarif said Iran will not allow what he called outlaw bullies to destroy the IRGC's legacy by fueling insecurity and instability.
It's all a big hoax.
Since Trump blacklisted the IRGC, Iranians have thrown their weight behind the defense force. In response to the U.S. move, Iran's top security council designated the U.S. Central Command in the region, known as CENTCOM, a terrorist group. Apart from domestic support, the U.S. move has triggered global reactions. China said it's opposed to power politics and bullying by any country. Japan stressed that it will continue to maintain close ties with Iran. Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah said the U.S. blacklisted the IRGC because it's countered the U.S. and Israel's hegemony in the region. Qatar described the move as a step outside international law, while Syria called the U.S. labeling irresponsible. Turkey and Iraq warned that the U.S. measure will undermine regional peace and stability. Syria and Iraq have time and again lauded the IRGC for its support in fighting Daesh terrorist group. Ironically, the U.S., however, has accused the IRGC of financing and promoting terrorism.
The biggest sponsor of state sponsored terrorism across the world has been the United States with the CIA and has been Israel with Mossad that's programmed assassinations across the world.
During 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump acknowledged that the U.S. was behind the rise of terror groups, including Daesh in the region.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS.
All right, now joining me in this debate to discuss the issue from Answer Coalition is Richard Becker out of San Francisco. And also journalist and political commentator Said Mohsen Abbas is joining us out of London. Good to see you both, gentlemen. Now, beginning with Richard Becker, ordinary Iranians and politicians from different political leanings have all rallied behind the IRGC. In a gesture of solidarity, reformists and principalists, members of parliament, who usually hold widely opposing views on different foreign policy issues, such as the nuclear deal, they have also appeared in the IRGC's green uniforms at the parliament floor on Tuesday, March 9, just hours after the U.S. announcement. Now, this basically worked as a catalyst to unite the Iranians. How do you see the wave of support that Iranians showed to IRGC?
Well, when you look at the decision that comes from Washington to declare the military or part of the military of another country a terrorist organization and accuse that organization of destabilizing the Middle East, when in fact it is the United States intervention that anyone with an objective viewpoint has to acknowledge that has destabilized the region, and I don't agree with Trump's statement that Obama was the founder of ISIS. It was the U.S. invasion of Iraq on prevaricated justifications that opened the door to the rise of al-Qaeda in Iraq and then the rise of ISIS. And so you have the military of a government that is part of the Middle East, Iran, being accused by those who have sent their troops halfway around the world to cause the greatest destabilization. And I think that we could understand why people in Iran and people really all over the world should understand it as well, as this is an unbelievable and just imaginary insult to the people of Iran and an imaginary accusation against the against Iran and against the people of the country.
Right. Now let's go to London. Said Mohsen Abbas, just hours ago, Foreign Minister Zarif and his deputies paid a visit to commanders of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. After the meeting, Foreign Minister Zarif tweeted that the U.S. decision has created, quote, unity and sympathy in the country. Was the Trump administration thinking about causing division and disunity among Iranians when they announced the controversial decision?
Well, everything that Donald Trump has done since he's come into office has been designed to smash and destroy the Islamic Republic of Iran. They've been trying to upset everything from the internal apparatus politically through to sort of their psyops, the cultural psyops that they continue through their media agencies and other avenues. And of course, more lately, Benjamin Netanyahu has taken over openly and overtly the US foreign policy. I mean, I can't think of another nation which is being so openly and so brazenly being managed and controlled by an external nation. It's effectively treason. What is going on in terms of the way Donald Trump is kowtowing to Benjamin Netanyahu and to Israel and its desires of American foreign policy is treasonous. I mean, it's not in the interests of the United States to take on Iran. It's not in the interests of the United States to do most of what it's doing across the Middle East at the moment. Yet, every time Benjamin Netanyahu clicks his fingers, Donald Trump goes running, and he's done it with the IRGC sort of declaration of them being so-called terrorists with the scorn of the CIA and the Pentagon itself. Both the CIA and the Pentagon have said this is an absolutely ludicrous direction for their foreign policy to go, yet he's insisted on doing it. Mm-hmm. My question really is, what is the U.S. interest globally? What is the U.S. interest in the Middle East? Is it to actually pay $38 billion to an Israel which actually gives nothing back to the United States and at the same time destroy any economic relations it could have with other nations across that region who are now ostensibly part of the resistance axis? And would it not be a wiser policy for the U.S. to be doing business, moral, honest economic business with all these other countries rather than paying out $38 billion for conflict and destruction across the Middle East to its proxy Israel? Or whether America is Israel's proxy, it's up and down.
Yep, interesting. Now, Richard, Foreign Minister Zarif has said that Washington's decision to label IRGC a terrorist organization is a sign of, quote, desperate nature of U.S. policies in this part of the world. Do you agree with his analysis?
Well, first of all, let me say I don't agree that Israel controls U.S. foreign policy. I don't think that's true. I think the U.S. is the most far-flung empire that's ever existed. And I think the reason that the billions of dollars a year go to the state of Israel is that despite any differences that exist, the way the Pentagon and the leadership in Washington views Israel is as an extension of U.S. military power in a very critical area of the world, the Middle East, the crossing point between three continents with all the oil and everything else. I think that what the United States is doing is to destroy Iran. That's what their aim is that today they view the main obstacle to establishing U.S. hegemony, reestablishing U.S. hegemony throughout the region, and it already exists in much of the region, that Iran is the main obstacle that stands in the way of accomplishing that. And the U.S. national security strategy that was adopted in December of 2017 singles out Russia and China's great power rivalry, and that that's the aim is to bring them down. But Iran is seen as a stepping stone, I believe, on the way to that objective, and what very well may become a war against Iran as a prelude to a larger war against China and or Russia. Mm-hmm.
Now, Said Mohsen Abbas, President Hassan Rouhani says that the U.S. decision is an unwise move and in support of Israel. How do you analyze the Israeli factor in all of this? You know, Benjamin Netanyahu immediately thanked President Trump for sanctioning IRGC at his request.
Well, I think Israel is central to everything that happens in the Middle East, and I respectfully disagree with my colleague. I mean, I know he's got his own opinion, and I respect that. But Israel and the lobby, IPAC, across the U.S. Congress, across the U.S. political system, is basically infecting. It's like a virus that has infected America for a very, very long time. And actually, I defy anybody to give me a logical reason. I mean, even this argument, I guess, of Israel being its police force, the U.S. police force in that region, doesn't wash with me. They're locked away in one corner. They're surrounded by, if you like, nations which now basically they've oppressed openly. It puts American democracy really to shame, the fact that they actually support a nation which is jackbooting its way across Lebanon into the Palestinian Gaza situation, and also oppresses virtually every other country in that region through its covert operations. And let's not forget that the covert side of it, in terms of the links of Israel with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and terrorist groups, has been pretty much documented pretty well now. We've got the situation with medical aid for ISIS being provided as they were losing in Syria. We've had various senior members of the American establishment had cozy relationships with ISIS leaders. Let's not go there too far, but Israel's relationship in terms of causing conflict, exercising what it calls the Yinon plan, which is effectively a plan that it wants to dominate up to the Euphrates, you know, from the Nile to the Euphrates is their sphere of influence as far as they're concerned. That is what is fundamentally causing the problem in the Middle East. And America is supplying the funds and the weapons and the backup to continue that. I mean, this is the fundamental issue. But further to what the Americans are really doing, I mean, this ramping up of the what's called the maximum pressure campaign by this administration is all ultimately designed to make sure that once this administration, if it loses the election, let's say with the election coming up in the U.S. Very, very shortly, perhaps they're planning for the future to make sure that it's really difficult for any future administration to reverse the policies that Israel has effectively initiated America to carry out. So, for instance, by further sanctioning the IRGC, what they've done is made it harder politically for any future administration to start undoing what they've done. I mean, they didn't need this in terms of trying to economically put the IRGC in any further problems or pressure. They'd already done that. They'd done all they could to, if you like, stifle their economic, if you like, influence. But actually, this is much more, I think, to do with the long-term future of American relations with Iran. And it's, again, Israel that has been instrumental in stopping the development of those for the future, I think.
Right. Let's go back to San Francisco. Richard, Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdelmahdi said during a weekly presser on Tuesday, and I'm repeating, quoting him, he said that we tried to stop the American decision. We reached out to all sides, to the U.S., to the Saudis. And it seems that Netanyahu is the only person that Trump listens to. Isn't that right?
No, I don't think so.
It was also the Golan Heights thing a few days ago.
I do believe that. Yeah, and there's no question at all that the Trump administration and the inner circle wanted Netanyahu to be reelected and did him some big favors, the recognition of Golan, and now this declaration of the IRGC as a terrorist organization, and, mm-hmm. and others. There's been more that that they've done to yep. try to make sure that Netanyahu would win the election, and he did fairly narrowly, but he won. And so I think that there's a congruence of interests between the U.S. and Israel in regard to Iran. They're not exactly the same interests. Israel does not want any power to exist in the region which could possibly challenge it. The U.S. doesn't want any power in the region that can challenge its hegemony. And it really is the U.S. hegemony, and it has been an objective of U.S. foreign policy, a key objective. Going back to the immediate aftermath of World War II, and we saw what the U.S. CIA did in Iran, in the 1950s. We saw what Israel did in the 1967 war, which was to smash the most prominent nationalist Arab governments in the region, which the U.S. expressed great appreciation for. And it was after that the aid really began to flow in the billions of dollars, not mm-hmm. just in the millions of dollars. Israel's role has been to destroy, and the U.S. role has been also to destroy nationalist, progressive, independent governments in the region in order to maintain control of the region. And in this, they have a partnership. But I would assert once again that Israel is the junior partner. I think the most important thing about this new action, the declaration of the IRGC being terrorist, is that it is a qualitative step toward greater hostility and the possibility of war, of a war against Iran. And I think there are clearly numerous figures in the Trump administration, in addition to Trump himself, but who even more than Trump perhaps, wish for a war against Iran and are moving in that direction.
Okay, Zayed Mohsen Abbas, there was also another part to the Iraqi Prime Minister's remarks. He has warned that Washington's decision, quote, would have negative repercussions on Iraq and the region. And he said that any escalation will make us loser. Why is Prime Minister Abdul Mahdi so worried about the U.S. decision?
Well, because happened in Iraq recently is very clear. Without the intervention of the IRGC and the Islamic Republic of Iran, Baghdad would have fallen to ISIS and al-Qaeda. And there are strong allegations and suspicions that, in fact, the United States was quite okay with Baghdad falling because they didn't mobilize into some sort of emergency action. It was the Iranians who were first on the ground with their advice, their strategic development, the Hashd-e-Shahabi that was raised, which actually filled in for the effectively the incompetence of the Iraqi army, which had dropped its arms and run, is still clear in the minds of the current Iraqi administration. Not only that, Iran has just entered into a commitment with Iraq to increase their bilateral trade from $12 billion to $20 billion per year. They've got huge reliance on the Islamic Republic in terms of energy and other aspects of the rebuild of Iraq. And this actually is something which actually sticks in the throat of the American administration as well. They actually probably are trying to destabilize that relationship. But on a practical level, Iraq and Syria become the point where IRGC and the United States Army come face to face. Previously, the Americans had to cooperate with the IRGC. That's not going to be possible anymore now after declaring them a terrorist organization. It'll be very hard for the U.S. bases and the troops there. So there are many problems, and Iraq could become a center ground for a conflict between the Iranians and the Americans.
All right. Richard Becker, one last question. Only a few countries, including Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain, have supported this U.S. move. Even Washington's close allies like Britain and France, they've refused to follow suit. Is this not a foreign policy failure? We have 1 minute.
Well, I think we have to wait and see, because while there have been these unilateral actions that have been called foreign policy failures in the past, and over a period of time, the U.S. has been able to prevail. Whether they will be able to in this case, I think, is very much up in the air. There is no question that that Iran is now being targeted. And so each step that brings us closer to a larger conflict is part of a plan. And there is an argument about those, how to implement those various plans in the inner circle of the Trump administration. But there's no question at all that this is a step toward greater step of greater hostility aimed at even more serious action that could be coming. And I think that we have to, we in the anti-war movement in the United States, our main outlook has to be to prepare for and oppose any new war against Iran or any new war anywhere in the world. But we can see that Iran is being targeted.
Okay. And on that note, we'll come to the end of this program. Let me thank our guest analysts. We had from Answer Coalition, we had Richard Becker from San Francisco, and journalist and political commentator Saeed Mohsin Abbas, who joined us out of London. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.